year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Many of you were here Christmas Eve with Father Prabhu, but for those who were here with me yesterday, long time no see as well. And yet how fitting, actually, on this day that we just continue to gather here above all places. Again, Christmas, this first 8 days, one long day, a whole Christmas season. But today, always the Sunday between Christmas and New Year's, even if it falls the day after Christmas, we're invited to draw our attention. We celebrate and open up our hearts to it in a special way on the Holy Family, and how appropriate that is in this Christmas season. I think in one way, it's here in the Christmas season because all of the gospel accounts, all that we hear about the Holy Family is basically at the beginning of Jesus' life, most of it his birth, before his birth, right after his birth. The account we just heard, he's 12 years old, that's the last time that we hear of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph all together. After this, we don't hear about Joseph again. One of the reasons we believe Joseph died before Jesus began his public ministry, sometime between the age of 12 and 30. But how appropriate, because it's a great opportunity to open up our hearts and our minds to that truth of, on the one hand, or first and foremost, just as God has made each of us in his image and likeness, we receive that from him. So also he's made families. The human family isn't like a human invention. Husband and wife coming together in this communion, this covenant of love, children being born of that union and into that union, the fruit of that love. It's all part of how God has made us and part of his plan. And we never move beyond that. We talk about how the family is like the building block of society. That has been and always will be true. It's a great reminder again, like God has created us in that way, to be a part of a family and what that family looks like. Even in the Holy Family, where you have this uniqueness of Jesus being God and man, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, still husband and wife, mother and father, children, Jesus being obedient to Joseph and Aaron, God being obedient to his creature. But more than that, and here the opportunity to open up our hearts to the hope of Christmas, Jesus has come to redeem our families. He redeems us by name and personally, but not isolated from one another, and that includes our families. Your family, my family, every human family. It's great hope. I think I can speak safely without knowing for sure for every one of us, but when it comes to our families, there's a lot going on, and we've got probably the whole range of emotions and thoughts and feelings. And again, some of us have been blessed with good families. Some of us have not. and yet all of our families are broken. There's no perfect family among us. That's the good news of Christmas. God has redeemed us. We need a redeemer. That's true for our families. And yet there's one aspect in a particular way, and it shines forth in our second reading, and it's so crucial as we open up our hearts to this mercy, this healing love of God for our families, is to recognize God's plan for us. The reality is we're one family. And that's not just kind of nice words to put on a Christmas card, but it's the reality of what God is about in the truth. That there is our family. Now, there's billions of people in this world right now. Who knows when Jesus comes again how many billions of people there will be. And in this life, we'll know only a fraction of them, and even in our kind of close biological family, we only know a few of those. And yet, as we heard, what does John tell us? What do we know is true from the moment of our baptism? We become God's children. As someone once said, God doesn't have grandchildren. He brings us into the most intimate relationship. We share fully in Jesus' relationship with his Father. We all have one Father, one Creator. We all have one Redeemer, Jesus. We all have one destiny to share in that life. That's why we're made. It's to open up our hearts to that too. It's to receive, to continue to press in with that confidence that there is a sure and certain hope for every one of our families. There's forgiveness and mercy. Jesus brings life where there's death. So the brokenness of our families is not an obstacle to that. That's why it came. Again, it's to recognize what it means to be family. Certainly sometimes in that brokenness, the hurt that we can sometimes do to others in our family or the hurt we've experienced from family members, there can be that desire on our hearts to let's just scrap that and let's do something else. But Jesus came to redeem our families. And that's true of the human race as well. Those who maybe are very far from us, those who are in one way not our friends, maybe we'd call them our enemies for what they have done or are doing to us, they ultimately aren't the enemy. They either are already, because of Jesus and baptism, our brother and sister, or God desires them to be so. It's also recognized that because we're God's children, he wants us, we have a role to play. In acting as his children, we actually help bring about that healing. We bring that hope to the world. And so today, always in the Christmas season, but as we think about Mary and Joseph and Jesus and their example, they offer us an example. What's that example? I'd say first is to make our homes and to just open up our hearts more to be people of prayer, be families of prayer. Two aspects, especially to think prayer isn't, we see this with Mary and Joseph and Jesus, it's not just, okay, I'm doing some saying some words, but it's a relationship. God the Father was real to them. Mary and Joseph, when we encounter them in the scriptures, they're listening to the Lord, they're talking to the Lord, they're responding to the Lord. It's a living relationship. God made you and I for that. We keep pressing in our prayer with that. And then we see all the virtues of family life on display. Part of it's obedience. That flows from that prayer too. Not just thinking of children, but being obedient to their parents, yes. But that we would all learn that obedience, especially from Jesus, to the Lord. That was part of the second reading too. John says, because you are God's beloved child, remain and grow in that relationship. How? By following Jesus' commands, by being obedient, by loving one another. And so it's those family virtues of kindness, and generosity, and asking for forgiveness, and offering and giving forgiveness, and patience, care, tenderness, service, and say, I meant to do that in a particular way. A lot of our effort goes to our family in that. But say, all are meant to be that family. They either are already, or God desires them to be. We're going to say the Our Father in just a few minutes, as we always do at Mass. We're going to focus particularly on that first word, Our. We say Our. It includes oneself. I'm praying for myself, but it's a reminder I'm praying for all of God's children, all of my family, but also all of humanity. Paul will say we have all of our families take their name from God. Mary and Joseph in heaven interceding for us, Jesus as well, but they're also present. They're offered to us. This is a day of great hope, particularly for our families. You think about people in your family, maybe that you're far from, those that you're close to. Maybe there's people in your family that have wandered away or they've done harm to you. Maybe there's people in your family that you need to ask forgiveness for. Bring your family to Jesus. Mary and Joseph. It's a gift of the Mass. But let's open up our hearts to the healing that Jesus wants to bring us, and also the strength, the love that he's given you and I, that he really does want us to share and make known. And part of that love is that he desires all of humanity, every single human person to be his child, his beloved son or daughter. So as God's family, let's hear. Let us profess our one faith.